Summer Darlings, welcome back. So I want to say something about this this chant, Devi Saraswati Tava Sharanam. Some of you know, but some of you don't know that word, Sharanam. We love that word, Sharanam, around here. I take refuge in Sharanam, Sharanam. It's all those ahs. They're very embracing. The ah is the sound of embrace. And all the mms, ma. And the shs, it's not like sh, like shush. It's the sh of Lakshmi, of lush, of luscious. Of just that swishy, lovely. You know what I'm saying? Sharanam. I take refuge in, you know, all of us probably, if not all of us, most of us, have a lot of wounding around the creative process anyway. The creative nature is embedded in all of us. It is what we are. We are an act of creation at all times. Cells are always being created. Blood is always being created. It's a work in process, this mind-body system. It is an active act of creation. And it's an active act of creation that unfolds in its own rather brilliant process. You know, we talk about this all the time. The wisdom of being is the ultimate wisdom. The Sanskrit term is prajna. It knows everything. The chant, the mangalam, sarva, everything. The mistake we make is not listening. The mistake we make is ignoring it. The mistake we make is putting up so many filters that we can't hear it. But it's always here whispering the way. And you know, so many of us who are wounded around creative process, we're wounded around creative process, but the creative itself inside of us, that's not the problem. It's all the stuff around it. The creative inside of us just wants us to sit back and be and allow the unfolding to happen. And allow the gifts to just do what they do. They just expand and contract and expand and contract. But to be in that process, we have to allow ourselves to be in the flow. And although the realities of modern life and earning a living and families and responsibilities and all of the above is a necessary pulling away from the, shall we say, the intensity of that process. Many of us create 4 gazillion other obstacles to it. I speak with tremendous authority on this topic. I can write an encyclopedia about it. Spend half my life chasing the creative and the other half running away from it as fast as I possibly can. But at the end of the day, it always comes back around, and it always says the same thing to me. It says, just sit down and listen. Drop the agenda. One of the many things I love about making art of any type or form is that in any work of art we have a microcosm of the life, death, life cycle. When we make a piece of art, we learn so many life lessons. But sometimes it's easier to get the lessons in the mirror of our creative expression. And this is where the whole notion of taking refuge in the great creative comes from. We can't take refuge in our perfectionism. That will never give us refuge. All it does is give us suffering. We can't take refuge in our agenda, because that also is a recipe for suffering. We certainly can't take refuge in other people's opinions of ourselves, especially people who don't see us, because that too is a recipe for suffering. The only refuge we can take is actually in our true, deep, creative nature, which is our nature. It's what we are. We talk about the light, it's all one. We talk about truth, it's all one. That pulsation of being, one of the technical Sanskrit terms is the spanda, the pulsation of light, luminosity. The words make it smaller. It's just the pulsation, the vibrating pulsation of that wants to become. It wants to become an object. It wants to become a work of art. It wants to enter into a relationship. It wants to withdraw, whatever. It just is very active. And the more we learn to ride that flow, really just be present with all the spanda arising inside of us, we're good to go. As I was saying this morning, around 8 o'clock last night, when I surrendered and said to my being, help, it's been smooth sailing ever since. I haven't had a thought that I'm running on a few hours of sleep. Like, whatever, feel fine. That whole story dissolved because I took refuge in something so much greater than the story. I need 8 hours of sleep before I teach. No, I don't. Clearly, don't. My cat, Baji, some of you know Baji has cancer. He has really serious bone cancer. The cat should have been put down already. He's doing great. There's no explanation except love. And that's the power of the creative, right? It keeps creating. It's not ready to stop creating. It's just, you know what I'm saying. So I'm going to shake it up a little bit in the schedule. I believe we're supposed to have an opening chant. It just wasn't in the formal schedule. But I'm feeling the impulse to just check in with everybody, see how everybody is doing, see if anybody has questions, anybody has anything they would like to say, anything that you need to get cleared up before we dive back into this afternoon. So this is your moment to speak. I will turn off. So it is now, it's 10 minutes after 2. This is so funny. You know, in Siddha Yoga, we went by the clock. Everything was timed to the barest, you know, just down to the second, practically. And I have so many samskaras from that. Never mind, 1994 is when I left. How many years is that now? It's a long time. I still have samskaras. I'm out longer than I was in. I was in 17, I'm out 19. So anyway, these are some scars. What can we say? That's an agenda. All it does is create agita. Not so bad, really, but I hope you know I'm sort of joking when I talk about I get anxiety later. I don't really get anxiety. I'm just poking fun at myself. In any case, we're winding down, and pretty soon Claudia's going to take over and do some asanas. So I was planning to have a little bit of chanting and a little bit more dharma talk before the asana. I'm kind of bored with myself right now, I must say, so maybe we'll just chant a little bit and then do some asana. Yeah. I mean, I can always blather away about something, but really I've said it all 400 times. You know, I'll read you this poem. This is a great poem. This is a poem about becoming light. Mary Oliver. When I am among the trees, especially the willows and the honey locust, equally the beech, the oaks, and the pines. They give off such hints of gladness. I would almost say that they save me, and daily. I am so distant from the hope of myself, in which I have goodness and discernment, and never hurry through the world, but walk slowly and bow often. Right, that's all of us, right? I am so distant from the hope of myself, in which I have goodness and discernment, and never hurry through the world, but walk slowly and bow often. Around me, the trees stir in their leaves and call out, stay a while. The light flows from their branches, and they call again. It's simple, they say. And you too have come into the world to do this, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine. That's it, right? That's the teaching, in a nutshell. And I am among the trees, especially the willows and the honey locust, equally the beech, the oaks and the pines. They give off such hints of gladness. I would almost say that they save me, and daily. I am so distant from the hope of myself, in which I have goodness and discernment, and never hurry through the world, but walk slowly and bow often. Around me, the trees stir in their leaves and call out, stay a while. The light flows from their branches, and they call again. It's simple, they say. And you too have come into the world to do this, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine. It's all that's required, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine. Everything else is just a story. So let's chant Gayatri Mantra. For people who are just coming out for the first or second time, Gayatri Mantra is a mantra that's considered the sound form of light. So that as we chant it, it actually creates more light inside. It doesn't really create more light inside, it just merges with the light that's already there. They get bigger together. But it is a very much light-inducing and nurturing mantra. Just give yourself over to it and let it do its magic. Chodayat